Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the war room. We got Dez, Kim, Jimmy, PJ, Austin, the hot block commander.
How you wanna end a 1 or 2 hour show and keep the brain running with the premise to talk sports on a national level? Bold with the topic, sort of like the rubber. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five during prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. For sports medicine, sports veterans and greats. The 4 for 26, so the war in Kuwait. It's the war room with 5 nights at the round table. 5 Philly guys, diversified and educated.
What's going on, everybody? It's Thursday, March 1st, 2012, and we'd like to welcome you back to the roundtable. You are once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports. My name is James the Blueprint Williams, and alongside me, behind the microphone are my brothers, Seth McMillan, Doc Bayon, a.k.a. Akil Bayon, B. Austin, and PJ, a.k.a. Paul Johnson. Tonight, we'll be rapping about NBA All-Star Weekend, the second half of the season, and a whole lot more from other sports. As always, we want to hear from you guys this evening, so hop right into the JW Philly Realty chat room at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom, or join us on Facebook and Twitter at War Room Sports. You can also call into the show and talk to us directly on the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline. That number is 323-410-0012. So before we begin, we want to send a shout-out to our radio partners. Check out Rory and Chris on the Broad Street Line every Tuesday at 6 p.m. right here on Blog Talk Radio. Follow them on Twitter at the BS Line. Dev and I had the opportunity to make an appearance on their show Tuesday, and we had a blast. So shout out to those guys for having us on to talk the smack that we like to talk about the NBA. We're looking forward to more collaborations down the line. Also, check out Brandon and Chris on Sports Track Radio every Saturday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on ueradiolive.com. If you love good sports talk, then check out our radio family to get your fix. Right now, I'm going to tell you who's having a birthday.
It's my birthday! Yay!
The birthdays this evening are brought to you by Days of Beauty Hair Salon, located at 9221 Oxon Hill Road in Fort Washington, Maryland. Some of you ladies need to get your Beverly Johnson taken care of. So give Lisa a call right there at Daisy Beauty Hair Salon, again at 9221 Oxon Hill Road. The first birthday I would like to talk about is one Stephen Lamont Davis, a.k.a. Stephen Davis, turns 38. B. Austin, the Hot Block Commander. When I say Stephen Davis, what comes to mind? Is that what comes to mind?
Yo, Stephen Davis, yo, he's 38. Like, it almost seems as if he should have been, like, just retiring, like 2 or 3 years ago. But it looks like he retired, like, 7 or 8 years ago. I mean,
yeah,
he was a beast,
fly,
he was
right?
A beast of a running back, for the Skins in at Carolina. And, you know, he got pummeled by Michael Westbrook, unfortunately. And, yeah, that's about it.
It's funny because a lot of people remember him for that incident with Michael Westbrook, because Stephen Davis was a large, rather large running back, Paul, that. And Michael Westbrook, after being called, John Amici, kind of went off and he thrashed him, and that's what he's kind of known for at this point. And, you know, he had a semi-successful career, you like to say, but anybody else got anything you want to say about one Stephen Davis? I guess not. The next birthday I want to talk about is one Mace Edward Christopher Chris Webber, turns 39. First off, who knew that his name was that long? Guess a Mace Edward Christopher Chris Webber.
Yo, that's wild. Like in like Mason Besser Mace. That's wild. Chris Webber. He was as talented as he was, we thought he was going to achieve more in his NBA career. I mean, but, you know, he did. He wasn't part of the best freshman tandem ever and probably the best sophomore tandem ever in college. And then at the same time, you know, he did help get the Kings to the Western Conference Finals. But, you know, he was always injured. And, you know, he was, his shot, I guess his late game play was always questioned, so that's when you needed a guy like Mike Bibby to step in. And it was interesting on the round table with Shaq and Kenny and Ernie Johnson and Steve Carnato's guy, they were talking about pressure situations and clutch shots. And Shaq just straight up went like, yeah, Neil, I wasn't clutch at all. You know, I had other guys to do that. And then everybody else on the panel actually hit clutch shots, except for Chris Webber. And he was like, his face was kind of crazy the way he was like, well, you know, in those situations, man, you just got to be ready and, you know.
Yeah.
It definitely was interesting to see. Go ahead, Dave.
No, I was saying he mentioned how he was a part of the best freshman, you know, tandem or class in college basketball history, but he's also responsible for wiping everything they did from the record books because of the gift he took while at Michigan. You know, it came out about 10 years later, but hey, that's how it goes. But we all know what happened.
Man,
you know what I'm saying?
My man, Big Money Ed.
Yeah, Big Money Ed and Chris Webber. Excuse me, Macy.
Shout out to Big Money Ed, man. Rest in peace. I think Big Money Ed passed away. So rest in peace,
Big Money Ed. Yeah. You know, Jimmy, one more thing. What's crazy is about that whole taking money. They they all went to a grand jury and they asked all these players from like Lou Bullock, who came after Webber, to like Maurice Taylor and Jalen and everybody, right? Like about 10, 12 players. And everybody was like, yeah, I took money. So they was like, cool. Chris, the only one that went up in there, was like, no, I didn't take anything. No, I ain't taking anything. So then they got him for perjury.
And
he
was
almost
the best player of the whole bunch. So if they took money, we know you took money.
Exactly.
Come on, man.
So, yo, he almost did a bid for that, like Marion Jones did, but he actually went back and was like, yeah, I did take money. And that's when NBA suspended him for, like, the first 10 games of that season or something.
That's crazy. That's crazy. The funny thing about Chris Webber is what he did with the timeout at Duke and a lot of his clutch play, people forget how talented of a player he was because he definitely was a talented player. Do you think overall his career was more of a disappointment, or do you think he had a good career? Because even when he didn't have any more bounce left, he was still putting up like 18 and 10 with the Sixers.
Yeah, I think he had a really good career. I mean, probably coming out of college, you know, what they expected, he may not have had that kind of impact. He definitely put up those kind of numbers that you may have expected from him. But, you know, we talked about this before. Chris Webber's numbers always seem to be kind of meaningless in the bigger scheme of things, but he put them up. So, you know, I think his career was pretty good.
I heard, I listened to so much sports talk. I forgot who said this. I don't want to, like, give anybody the wrong credit. But they were having a debate who had a better career between Chris Webber and Grant Hill, which is funny considering Grant Hill's still playing. But they were saying in their prime who was a better player. And, I found that to be interesting because, you know, in his prime, Chris Webber was a dominant player, but he's always, you know, always known for the letdowns.
You know, it's funny because I always secretly give him the benefit of the doubt, and I kind of bash him in public because it's cool. But the only time I really hated Chris Webber was when he played for us, because I just couldn't fathom the type of money he was making and the results we were getting, because he's definitely the epitome of meaningless stats. But when it's all said and done, you know, just looking overall at his career, he had a great career. He did have a great career.
Okay. That's what's up. All right, well, shout out to him on his birthday. He spent a lot of time on Chris Webber. He's 39. Let's move on to a couple rest in peace shout-outs. The one, Alvin Ray, Pete Rozelle, who lived from March 1st, 1926, until December 6th, 1996.
My birthday! Yay!
Anybody got any quick thoughts on Pete Rozelle?
Yeah, real quick. Of course, you know, he was the NFL commissioner. I forgot when he actually started, but he stepped down in 89 for Paul Tagliabue. So, you know, in our generation, we kind of caught the tail end of the Pete Rozelle era. I don't really know what he did for the game, but rest in peace. Happy birthday. Shout out to him.
Okay. Next one. Rest in peace. Shout out to one Harry Christopher Carabina, a.k.a. Harry Carey, He lived from March 1st, 1914, all the way to December 18th, 1998. Does anybody have any thoughts on one Harry Carey?
Not really. I know that what's the comedian? Will Ferrell does a mean Harry Carey impersonation.
But, that's your thoughts on Harry Carey.
Since none of us are from Chicago, we can't really speak much on Harry Carey. So rest in peace, Harry.
Rest in peace to Harry Carey. And Just want to say once again, those birthdays were brought to you by Daisy Beauty Hair Salon, and that is that week's birthdays. Dev, you want to tell everybody what happened while they were on the ground?
Yes, sir. This is what happened this week while you guys on that grind making that money. T.O. is back in the news. T.O. had three catches in his Allen Wranglers Arena League debut. All three catches went for touchdowns. All three touchdowns were in the first half of the game. Fellas, is this kind of performance going to get T.O. back into the NFL, or is this something that they already know he can do and people are just not messing with T.O. right now in the NFL?
People just ain't messing with T.O., man. He's already a productive player, even at this age. You know what you're going to get from him if you bring him back. This is just attention grabbing.
Yeah.
I look at it one way. As bad as it sounds like he's doing better than Allen Iverson.
Not true. And the funny thing about it, he did this in front of 5,700 fans, and there were a few hundred empty seats at the Allen Event Center. And another crazy stat that I found, not really a stat, but just a little nugget, a little tidbit, the quarterback that's throwing him the ball is making $225 per game, and he gets an extra $25 if they win. Come on,
hey,
man.
Yeah.
We buy you a steak if you win.
So basically, he's playing semi-pro, is what you really want to call it. Like
basically, well, for the quarterback is making car insurance money to play, and they're buying him a steak for a win.
Yo, I got friends that play semi-pro who are out of shape, fat guys that play high school football in the '90s, like, and they do it for fun. And T.O., who put up crazy numbers last year in the NFL, is playing on that level. It just kind of puts things in perspective of how your attitude can definitely, dictate what happens to you in life, man. That's terrible, man.
And just how quickly you can be on top and just, you know, and just fall.
Yo, but whose attitude is worse, his or Randy's?
Neither one of them got a job.
Yo, what they need to do, yo, I see a reality show where you could have Randy Moss, Allen Iverson, and T.O., and probably now Chad Ochocinco just working on their careers. I mean, Moss might not need money, but the other two will probably need some cash, so they can make a movie out of it or something.
Who is the single worst team in the NFL? That has to be, it's easy to find an NFL who has the first pick.
The draft.
The Colts or the Rams. I would sign all three of them, yo. I would sign T.O., Randy Moss, Chad Ochocinco. I'll sign Allen Iverson as well.
That'd be the backup quarterback.
Be the Wildcat. You a Wildcat quarterback.
You know what? Actually, the Patriots, though, the Patriots have asked Chad Ochocinco to restructure his deal, so they kind of want him back. I don't know why, but they probably want him back for
pennies.
Yeah, they probably want him back for pennies, and they'll probably use him more once they're paying him less. That's the kind of stuff they do in Patriot land. Once they're paying them less, they're going to ask them to play D-back. They're going to ask them to play defensive line, all kinds of stuff. But moving on to the next story, Ben and Jerry's, they had to apologize to Jeremy Lin because they got caught up in Lin's sanity, and they actually made a Jeremy Lin-inspired ice cream flavor. It was called Lin's Sanity, I mean, like everything else is called. So one of the ingredients in this ice cream was fortune cookies. And a lot of people from the Asian community didn't quite take too kindly to that. So they had to remove it and replace it with waffle cones and issue an apology to Jeremy Lin. Do you guys think it's legitimate beef or much ado about nothing?
Much ado about nothing, because race is still so prevalent in our society, and you combine that with having the front be pretentious and politically correct, everybody will cry foul. Yo, that was funny, man.
Like, I'm not going to say that there's nothing wrong with it because I'm not Asian, so I don't know what offends Asians. But at the same time, I can pretty much assume that it was an honest mistake, because first of all, they're making a flavor for him, so why would they be trying to diss him? They were just, you know how race relations are in America. You're kind of insensitive to what makes other people upset, so you really don't know, so you take a chance. It sounds funny right off the bat that they put fortune cookies under, but then somebody said to me earlier in the week, like, you know, that's like them making a, you know, a black guy getting real popular, and they make him one with, like, fried chicken and watermelon flavor. Like, how would we feel?
Well,
at the same time, when I order Chinese food, the Chinese people actually provide me fortune cookies. I don't stereotype them like that.
Yo,
if they made
my
a flavor of ice cream for Russell Westbrook and they left banana out, I would think that wasn't authentic.
Yo, here's my thing. I understand what you guys are saying, right? But after the whole fiasco with the chink in the armor and all the different things that came out, how do you not think about that when you're doing this? Like, that's what bothers me. It's like, come on, man.
Yeah, I mean, but you think they were just sitting back in the ice cream lab one day like, yo, man, you dare me to put fortune cookies in there? Like, but another thing is, though,
if I was two dudes low on the totem pole, like, yo.
The other thing is, he's not Chinese. Maybe that's a problem, too. Yeah, so maybe they're saying, you know, that's a Chinese thing. You get that in your Chinese food. Just, you know, you're grouping all Asians together by putting fortune cookies in this ice cream. So maybe that's the problem, too.
You know what it is, though? He's from, well, his parents are from Taiwan, which is an island off of China, and they have different laws, but they kind of, like, clump it in, like, they speak the same language, and they kind of adopt the culture, even though they have different laws as a country, but you see what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
I guess that's
no,
why
I feel
that.
You. I feel you. I definitely feel you. Yeah. Oh, well. More race-related stuff in America. Surprise, surprise, surprise. Michael Turner got some baby mama drama in his life. He, his current girlfriend was fighting his baby's mother, who has two kids by him and is pregnant with a third. The baby's mother apparently came up to his house, and the girlfriend came out, you know, basically screaming, "You at my house now, B," and tried to hit her with a golf club, and they got the scuffling.
Oh.
No charges were filed. You know, nobody pressed charges, but according to TMZ, which is the most trusted news source in America, you know, their faces were bloody from the rumble, and she actually ended up snatching the golf club from her. So what do you do in this situation if you're Michael Turner? Because he did come out and break it up.
Well, first of all, I definitely don't want to be involved with a woman that's going to swing on the mother of my children, or the person that has my child inside of them. No matter how they feel, they have to respect me and my child more than that. So
right. So the fact that, I don't know if he let it happen before he broke it up, or, you know, if he had her outside and he was disrespecting her, which always gives the new chick, you know, cause to disrespect also. I mean, if that's the case, you got to look at him in this situation. Like, what kind of man are you to let your new girlfriend even get close enough to put her hands on your child's mother, especially when she's with child?
Right.
This happens every day, B. This sounds like a story from the neighborhood. I'm sitting there thinking, like, yo, this sounds like something that you see in the streets.
Mm-hmm.
I don't live in them type of neighborhoods no more.
and I would hope that Michael Turner doesn't either. His neighbor is probably.
Hey, look, man, like I said, you could take some people out of the hood, but you know.
Yeah.
Shout out to AI.
That's an unfortunate situation. Your boy, Jerome Simpson, Bengals wide receiver, remember he had the drug charge. He actually ended up pleading guilty to that charge this morning. It was a drug related felony charge. And it was part of an agreement he made with the prosecutors. So the judge is going to decide next month whether or not to accept the prosecutor's recommendation and to give him a more lenient sentence.
They going to put my man Freeway Simpson away? Big Meech?
Yo, it's crazy. I mean, it's another agreement. The prosecution sat here and made another agreement to let a pro athlete, off easy. Like, I still wonder, like I do every time we talk about these type of stories, what would happen if it was me with these drugs, you know? I mean, they're trying to get him off to where he does like 200 hours of community service.
That's fair.
Right.
So what's up with Hurd? How did he get his case before Sam Hurd?
Sam Hurd got a bigger case.
Sam Hurd got some alphabet toys on his top.
Yeah. The prosecution's probably still working on that, Sam Hurd.
They throwing the RICO at Sam Hurd, and he's by himself.
Yeah, hey, yo, did they go by? Well, Jerome Simpson had this many yards and had a pretty great season, and Sam Hurd has been around for several years and haven't really done jack. So we'll give Simpson the benefit of the doubt.
Sam Hurd never flipped into the end zone though, so.
Yeah. That's a great point.
I think the first recommendation for Simpson was like 60 days in jail, but they're trying to get him off on 200 hours of community service.
I mean, yeah, he's getting off lighter than Jamal Lewis.
How much risk did he have?
I don't think they found that much weight, but he had like measuring paraphernalia and stuff like that. So remember when we talked about it, I'm like, look, that could just be a dude with a lot of money with a habit. You know,
mm-hmm.
He might not have been distributing at all. That might have just been his stash. But anyway, that's it. That's what happened while you guys were on the grind. Of course, On the Grind is brought to you by Philly Auto Design. Drop by PhillyAutoDesign.com and check out the hottest selection of rims and tires on the internet.
Yes, sir. It's time to pass the rock. And for those who don't know what pass the rock is, that's when the starting five, then on their chosen sports issue, will report their favorite headline of the week. And pass the rock is brought to you by Bay Financial Services. What I'm going to do I'm going to inbound the rock to my man Akil Bayon, a.k.a. Doc Bay. What you got, homie?
All right. War Room World and aficionados, I would like to take the time to talk about a topic that has not been talked about a lot when it comes to the newfound NBA sensation, the Jeremy Lin. Now, we have been inundated with highlights, interviews, internet pictures, YouTube videos, and the like that have gone viral as the Jeremy Lin legend continues to grow. There was one picture that had Jeremy Lin taking his mask off only to reveal Michael Jordan in disguise. There was a picture of Jeremy Lin shooting a fireball out of his hands with the headline, "Hi, you get." Then there was the YouTube video titled Jeremy Lin's Superior Intellect that takes some of Jeremy Lin's highlights and breaks them down with a voiceover in a Chinese accent that supposedly is the mind of Jeremy Lin, drawing up mathematical and scientific equations as he decides how to get past his opponent for a score or an assist. They actually show the equations being drawn on each clip. Saturday Night Live even jumped into the Jeremy Lin foray. Now, what has flown under the radar quite a bit is the fact that Jeremy Lin prides himself in being a dedicated man of God who tries to follow the Bible the best way he can. He has goals of working in the full-time church ministry as a pastor when his playing days are over and would like to set up a foundation to help underprivileged youth. According to who you talk to, his faith and dedication to his religion is no different than that of Tim Tebow. He just goes about it differently when he is on the public stage. Dallas Mavericks backup guard Jason Terry even stated that Jeremy Lin's faith was what was guiding him and allowing him to have such success. So with that, I just wanted to give a shout-out to Jeremy Lin's faith. And with that, I'll pass the rock to my man, Devs.
All right. Thanks, Kill, for giving a shout-out to his face. That's kind of crazy. Yeah, the hype is still real. He had a good game last night, so I guess the Heat were just basically a bump in the road and not really the destruction of Linsanity, as a lot of people pretty much thought. I don't have anything to rant about this week. I just kind of want to give a shout-out. As you guys know, the War Room Sports, and the Broad Street Line, one of our partner shows, we did a joint petition. We started a joint petition to bring the mascot Big Shot back to the city of Philadelphia and the Philadelphia 76ers. It looks like, you know, that petition has gotten some traction. It's been signed by a lot of people. It's even been seen by the Sixers CEO, Adam Aaron, and he tweeted a couple of weeks ago about the possibility of bringing Big Shot back. Now, the other day, we met someone who very, very badly wants to actually be in the costume of Big Shot. And he's an actor and comedian from the Roxborough section of Philadelphia, or Roxborough, PA. Really, they give Roxborough its own little city moniker up in Philly, but that's besides the point. This has been like his lifelong dream. When he was a kid, the guy who played Big Shot originally came by to see him after he had a hernia surgery or something like that. So since he is a comedian and an actor, like, his lifelong dream as a diehard Philadelphia 76ers fan is to be in the costume of Big Shot if they were to ever bring him back. So what we need you guys to do is to go to our website, find it on the second flash ad, click on that, sign our petition, because the first thing we need to do is get Big Shot back. Then the second thing we need to work on is getting Chris Morris into the costume so he can do that for his beloved city of Philadelphia. So I just want to give a shout-out to Chris, and the War Room is supporting your efforts. Join his Facebook page. It's a group called Make Chris Morris Big Shot, the next Sixers mascot. You know where to find us on Facebook, War Room Sports, facebook.com/War Room Sports. We'll get you all the information you need, but we need you to get behind Chris Morris. Google him. He's everywhere. If he doesn't get this job, then I don't know what this world is coming to. So with that, I'm going to pass the rock to my man, B. Austin, the Hot Block Commander.
Hey, man. Yo, bring Big Shot back. Word up. And kill great PTR, man. Shout out to Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Hakeem Olajuwon, Sharif Abdul-Rahim for standing up for their faith, too, in case y'all didn't know. The Trav Shammockery, also known as the NBA All-Star Weekend Dunk Contest. We had a white guy who decided that his dunk was going to include the megalomaniac, egotistical Sean Combs, who actually threw a very nice pass, which I was impressed with his pass. But it didn't do anything for my mind to dispel the myth that white men can't jump. We had another cat turn out the lights and decide to play Nerf ball, you know, something that my son would appreciate. Then we had another guy who was really too heavy and too big to attempt the dunk that he tried to do. And my co-host, Devin, said, yo, that dude's too heavy, man. He can't do this rendition of the East Bay Funk. And sure enough, every time he tried to put the ball down between his legs, pause, and bring it up for the dunk, he was back down on the ground. Now, I say all of this really to say that at the end of the day, it was weak. Not only was it weak, it was very weak. So with the help of some of our friends, our listeners, our supporters, the folks on Facebook that we've come to know and love as you interact with War Room, we went ahead and named some of the things that we would have rather been doing instead of watching the Trav Shammockery known as the NBA All-Star Weekend Dunk Contest. Felicia says she would have rather been scratching her butt and picking her nose than watching. Seymour said he would have rather been filing his taxes from 3 years ago. Kia says she'd rather be playing spades. Johnny Jones said he would have rather been having a conversation with stuttering-ass Ron Harper. Mont said he'd rather been practicing his Derek Fisher jump shot form with his elbow way out. Brother Heem said he'd rather been watching Big Mama House 3. Freedom Vaughn says she'd rather been watching paint dry. Akila said she'd rather have been having a full frontal lobotomy than watching these dudes try and dunk. My man Joel Rodriguez, friend of the show, said he'd rather have been wrapping himself in duct tape really tight and then eating X-Lax than watching. Garland said he'd rather have been doing old paperwork from high school and piecing it back together after shredding it than watching this dunk contest. And yours truly, I would have rather been eating Brussels sprouts and concentrating on eating those Brussels sprouts. Homie Dwayne Thomas said he'd rather be rewinding cassette tapes with a pencil. My point, you may ask, in all of this, I have a serious point. I'm done really making you laugh. It's 2012, and as we look at the current state of sports, and specifically the NBA, we'll stick within those confines. The difference between today's athlete and the atmosphere in which they ply their trade is the value placed on competitive greatness. It's not about losing the dunk contest and having your brand damaged so that your sneakers don't and your merchandise doesn't sell. It's about the opportunity to say, you know what, these fans want to see me compete and give my all to win something. That's what it's all about. When did we lose that? When did we lose it? Yo, next year, I want to see LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, Derrick Rose, John Wall, Russell Westbrook, J.R. Smith. Yo, get y'all asses in the dunk contest, man. I'm done, yo. Jimmy, yo, talk to these people, man.
No doubt, homie. At this point, they should cancel the dunk contest. They should cancel the whole All-Star weekend. No, I'm joking. What's up, Warren World? This is Jimmy, a.k.a. The Blueprint, a.k.a. Mr. I'm Nice. Many of you know that I am a 76ers season ticket holder, and last night I watched them lose to the Thunder, scoring a total of 88 points. Now, the next game is Friday against the Warriors, and I will be in the building as usual. But Friday is no regular game because it marks the 50th anniversary of Wilt Chamberlain himself scoring 100 points in an NBA game. That's right. 50 years after Wilt scored 100, the Sixers as a team didn't crack 90. That just goes to show you how dominant Wilt was as an NBA player. In fact, Wilt numbers are so crazy that in the war room, we believe that he may have never existed. He's sort of like Bigfoot. But here's the craziest part. His 100 points in a game is not Wilt's most impressive statistic. If you check out his scorecard with the opposite sex, it makes his 100 points in a game seem like nothing. And that's all I have for this evening. I just want you to keep that in mind. This man scored 100 points in one game, and that is a record that may never, ever be broken. That's all
and
I want to say, man.
Yam,
shout
yeah.
out to Wilt. And shout out to Wilt and all the yam action he got, man. I'm nice. I'm done. And with that, I just throw the ball in the stands and walk off.
Because we already won, and the crowd goes wild. Shoot it for what? Y'all can check out our website at warroomsports.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the War Report. That's our weekly newsletter. Click on the Contact Us tab to send a message to us about our company, the show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. For general inquiries, email us at info@warroomsports.com. While you're browsing the site, click on the Memorabilia tab to buy War Room Sports merchandise, and click on the Blog tab to read our latest sports articles in the All's Fair in Sports and War blog. You can then click on the representative icons to like our Facebook page, to follow us on Twitter, to subscribe to our iTunes podcast, and to download the free War Room Sports mobile app on your Android and Apple devices. Watch our videos at warroomsportstv.com. You could join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/the War Room. To get into the chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to create an account, you can sign in through your Facebook and Twitter accounts. And while you're there, click follow to make the War Room one of your favorite Blog Talk Radio shows and get updates and reminders about the show. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room every week during the show. So to call in and speak with us directly, you can dial the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. Pressing 1 is like raising your hand. So go ahead and raise your hand, and we might just call on you. All right, Jim, you got it. What you want to rap about?
I'm sitting here on mute. I'm sitting here on mute talking my little heart away. Like, yeah, man, you know. Anyway, let's talk about our NBA. Let's just go right into talking about NBA All-Star Weekend. We're running a little behind, but let's talk about NBA All-Star Weekend. Austin gave his opinions on the different contests and such, but let's start off with the Rising Stars Challenge. Any thoughts? Did you guys watch the Rising Stars Challenge, and what were your thoughts?
Yo, Allen Houston looks like he's in mid-season form from, like, 10 years ago.
That's not the Rising Stars Challenge.
That is definitely not the Rising Stars Challenge, but I agree with you.
Yo, I thought the celebrity game was more entertaining than the Rising Stars Challenge, to be serious with you. They tried to go out of their way. I mean, because, you know, it's a bunch of young guys, so they think what they've watched over the years in the All-Star game, they think they want to kind of duplicate that or replicate that on a lower level. And, you know, a lot of times they just let people skate to the hole, do dunks and stuff like that. I was actually glad to see during that game, remember the play when John Wall tried to throw it off the floor to himself and Greg Monroe snatched it up and ran the other way with it? I was actually glad to see that because it got little Ringling Brothers when everybody stops, gathers around, you know, start talking like they're at the local playground, and this dude tries to throw the ball off the floor to himself as if we're not in a real game right now. So
yeah,
I was kind of glad to
like
see Greg Monroe
general,
do that.
Like...
Yeah, it got a little too gimmicky, you know, which is probably the theme of the whole weekend, but... You know, what did you
Greg
guys
Monroe,
think about that game?
Greg Monroe is my homie now. That's one of my new favorite players, although I can't like him because he plays for the Pistons. But, yo, dude plays below the rim, and he's like 6'12". This dude doesn't tap board. Yo, I watched him even play last night. He put up 19 and 20, and, like, yo, dude refuses to dunk the ball.
Yeah.
Yo, he gets wide open shot, and homie will just, like, lay it up. I'm not too wrong with this dude, but he got an old-school game. But he's definitely come along as a player because I remember watching him, like, you know, earlier in the season last year, and I'm like, yo, he didn't look like the player that he was slated to be, but he's coming into his own. So him and Brad's homie over there in the Pistons, what's Brad's homie, Knight?
Brandon Knight.
Yeah,
the
Brandon Knight.
That's so right, Brandon Knight.
So they got a couple of nice players, nice pieces over there in Detroit, but he's,
Brandon
I like
Knight,
to watch him play in that game. And
not
also,
the rookie of the year for the Pistons.
How about that? How
alone the lead.
How Evan Turner looked when basically he had the restraints pulled off of him and he didn't have to worry about Dub screaming at him. Although, again, it was an All-Star game.
Exactly.
But
I still liked how he looked without, you know, the fear of, you know, being taken out of the game or being screamed at for every little mistake. He looked more confident and he looked like a much better and much more confident player in the process.
You see the actual the pieces of his game, the ability that he has. Let's put it that way.
The stuff that you don't see every night when
you
go down to the building.
You know, it's funny y'all bring that up, and y'all definitely watch Evan more than I do. Just in like 20 seconds, does that pick that the Sixers made versus the pick the Wizards make, does it look a little bit more even now? Or is John Wall definitely head and shoulders above dude?
I mean, I think if Evan Turner got the minutes, I think the pick could definitely be closer to even. John Wall is a good player, but as long as he's playing with the cast that he's playing with and in the organization that he's playing, I don't know if he'll ever be more than just somebody we say, damn, he's fast. You know,
it's kind of hard to judge, like, you know, that considering Doug Collins, he rides Evan pretty hard. It's like his punching bag on the team. So,
right.
But
like Wally Brown,
I guess he's trying to make him a better player. And John Wall is stuck there playing with a bunch of noodles. But the athletic ability, even in that game, you can see, like, this dude, yo, he looked like something off of Planet of the Apes when I saw that movie this past summer. He looked like one of the apes off that joint, the way he was just jumping and running. And I don't say that with any disrespect. I'm not trying to get my Jeremy Lin on my Jeremy Lin type disrespect, but yo, the athleticism he shows is beyond belief. This is a point guard. Me and PJ were talking. I think PJ was like shocked at how short he was. PJ was like, "Yo, how tall is dude?" He kept asking because dude was jumping out of the gym.
You would think he was about like 6'6", the way he was getting up. especially toward the end of that game. And like y'all were saying about Evan Turner, it was funny when you watched him, you saw more of his – first of all, he looked more confident, and you saw more of like a playmaking ability in him. Like, I mean, not that you don't see that at all with the Sixers, but like
he was throwing
with
some nice passes in that game.
Yeah, exactly. I was surprised. I was like, yo, Ed. But yeah, John Wall, I think Evan Turner has a after looking at that game, and I don't want to jump to conclusions, but I think you see more of a possible upside in him and what he can become, you know, hopefully. Not saying that you don't see it with John Wall, but I think it's getting a little bit closer, like the point that Dev is alluding to. So I don't think it looks like he's so head, shoulders, you know, knees and calves above.
It's funny. They were interviewing Evan Turner yesterday.
I'm Evan Turner, and I am nice.
Oh, don't do that.
What is his goal? He wants to one day play point guard for a full season. He wants to play point guard in the NBA. So that's one of his dreams.
I would like to
but
write
you
got to
communicate. Sixers fans, is
Evan Turner better than the big man in Utah? Remember Doug Collins, one of the big men that the Nets pick? What's his name?
Derek Favors.
I think it's too early to tell, in my opinion.
And I don't even think it's a who's better type of thing. I think Doug Collins was more preoccupied with what the Sixers needed. I mean, if you look at the team right now, they could use a big man and do without Evan Turner. I'm not saying I want him off the team because I like Evan Turner. But at this moment, a big man would really help, you know, in this little
A big man would help free up Jody Meeks.
Jody Meeks needed to sit down.
He was freed up.
I'm like somebody's grandma. Jody Meeks need to sat down somewhere. Sat your ass.
When Jody is hitting his shot, it's like, yo, you love Jody, but when Jody's not hitting this shot, oh, God.
You're frustrated because...
Why were you born? If you're not hitting the jump shot,
you're frustrated
because
that's all we ask you to do. All you do is spin records.
That's all you do.
He has less athleticism than J.J. Redick.
but for what
he is needed for, he doesn't need it. But the thing is, when his shot is on, though, the team is like, it makes the team that much better because he definitely does spread the floor. But that's the thing. He's a hot and cold kind of guy. He could go knock 8 threes out in a row, but he could also miss 16.
Speaking of threes, Jim.
Yeah, no doubt. Let's move on. Kevin Love, he won the three-point contest this past weekend. He becomes the second power forward to do so. Dirk is a previous winner. What did you guys think about the overall three-point contest and how you feel about Kevin Love, a big man, taking it?
I think Wright Moses, it does more to impress us every time we see him go out onto the basketball floor. Because, I mean, I knew he had a shot, but when we did our predictions, you know, I didn't take Kevin Love to win this contest. And the dude went out and won the contest, man. I was glad James Jones didn't win, man. James Jones too ugly to be a back.
Yeah, when I listened back to the show, everybody said they wanted Kevin Love to win, but they didn't think he would win.
Nobody dislikes
Kevin Love. I've never met one person who's a basketball fan.
Louis Scola don't like him.
I guess not. He did a Dominique Sue stomp on his chest, but you know. I mean, everybody loves Kevin Love. Anybody else want to say anything about it?
At this stage of the game, I would rank Kevin Love as the number one power forward in the league. With his skill set, with his versatility, like not only do you get 15 boards a game, but you shoot 38% from three. Who does that?
Yeah. Yo, one thing with Kevin Love, I made a huge mistake, and y'all know that, when I said I thought he'd be like Nick Collison or less. But I thought a cat from Xavier named Josh Duncan was going to be better than Kevin Love. And, boy, was I wrong, because Kevin Love is, like, arguably the top three power forward, and Josh Duncan is, like, somewhere overseas.
Yeah.
Like, I can't even find him. Like, I can't – like, Eurobasket didn't even come up.
He's missing.
No, that is true, Kill, because you did kind of disrespect Kevin Love coming out of the league.
Yo, you went in on Kevin Love.
Oh, you know what? He's in France. Well, Josh Duncan played 1 year in France, and that was about it. He averaged 6 points and something else.
What's that about?
Kevin
Love may
never start an All-Star game, yo.
Nah, he's not. Kevin Love.
Oh, no. He's done for that.
Yo, because we have all of the casual fan is going to pick Blake Griffin until Blake Griffin's knees come off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like they ran Vince Carter into the ground now. He can't get a run in the All-Star game.
Didn't get a run.
Now, Austin was talking about the dunk contest and how he's just pretty much through with it. Does anybody believe that there's anything they can do to possibly save the dunk contest?
Nope. Not a thing. Your man that won is another Josh Duncan. Like, he doesn't even know. Yo, I didn't even know the person that won the contest existed. And as far as dunking two balls, I didn't think that was that impressive because I dunked two balls all the time. It's like, no.
plus, what's your man, McGee? Didn't he dunk three balls last year?
I don't remember.
Yo, he did something crazy.
Yeah, he
I think
some
he dunked
like
three last year.
Yeah, he was on
yeah,
the whole.
Did he bring out like a second court, though?
Yeah, he brought up like another basketball
court. Yeah, he dunked
court.
On two
yeah.
courts.
I think he dunked one with his chin.
I got a few ideas, fellas. I mean, we spoke about this on the Broad Street line on Tuesday with Roy and Chris. First idea is this. Get Kenny Smith away from the dunk contest.
Get him away from basketball.
It's Kenny Smith's fault that, you know, the best gimmick you can come up with is going to get you the most attention. That's his thing. He coaches these guys before the dunk contest, and he's responsible for the choirs and the cars and the glow in the dark and all this kind of stuff. He counsels these guys on that. Get Kenny Smith away from the dunk contest.
Kenny's on your list.
I keep hearing people talk about, well, put the pot up, you know, put $1 million in the middle of the court, and the superstars might come out. I don't feel that that's necessary because I feel like some of the greats in the game have participated in the dunk contest. So I kind of look at it as like a rites of passage, and I really don't like the fact that LeBron James hasn't entered at least one dunk contest yet. I'm like, who are you? Jordan did it. Kobe did it. You know, everybody did it. Like a rites of passage. Yeah, and that's what Jimmy was saying. He's afraid to lose because, you know, he's worried about his brand.
I think it's different. I'm not saying I agree with it. I don't think personally, I don't care if LeBron, Kobe, and Russell Westbrook entered the contest. Like, I think it's done. I don't think there's anything you could do to bring the dunk contest back. I think it's time to move on.
Jim, I think every year when the three-point contest ends, they should just play a video on the big screen of Vince Carter's dunks from his dunk contest and call that the dunk contest and just move on to the next.
Yeah, I really don't think it's anything that you can do, but this is a whole new generation and different type of basketball player than we came up watching or we remember. Like I said, these guys, even role players at this point, have a brand. And LeBron was a millionaire before taking a shot. Jordan was getting paid peanuts compared to what LeBron did as a rookie.
Right.
So for him.
And this is another thing, Jim, the fact that, you know, we've seen basically every dunk that could be, you know, humanly done. Judges, even though they didn't even have judges this year, judges tend to give you lower scores just because you've seen it before. And I don't think just because we've seen the dunk before makes it any easier to do.
So cats are trying to pull out
new stupid things and gimmicks because they know if they just do a nice dunk, they're not going
to
get any points.
It has to be something else we can do. I mean, when you look across the board, in terms of all the different all-star events, whether it be the Pro Bowl, whether it be this game, it's like,
I'd rather
see
a two-on-two.
You got to get rid of this stuff.
I'd rather see a two-on-two tournament.
I like
I was in your lane some years back, and I thought, yo, there's nothing new coming. There's nothing. And then I saw Vincent Carter dunked. And he pulled something out the hat that I had never seen. He pulled a couple
that
things
out. That was it, though. It's been dead since then. And by the way,
It's been dead.
And Vince Carter didn't. And the thing about his, he didn't do anything gimmicky.
No gimmick.
He just came out and just did some pure monkey.
I get that. But that's a part. That's partly my point, though. It's like we're saying it's dead. It's dead. Why? Because we haven't. We've seen every dunk that can be seen, or we're saying it's dead because these jabronis are too scared to damage their brand. I don't think it's both. I'm not ready to say that it's dead because there's no more creativity out there. I think people aren't trying to be creative.
But
because
creativity
said,
has turned into gimmicks. Next year they're going to have, like, somebody's going to build a scaffold and jump off the – they're going to do something silly. Like, it's going to get real silly, and it's Kenny Smith's fault. I'm blaming it all on Kenny Smith.
I got something. Go ahead.
I'm just saying, Roy of the actual grocery line wrote a great piece discussing how Vince Carter killed the dunk contest. And I'll post it on our Tumblr, which is warroomsports.tumblr.com, so you can take a look at it. But he basically broke down how that was the last great dunk contest, and it's been dead since then. Even last year, when Blake Griffin brings out a choir and jumps over a Kia, jumps over the hood, now mind you, didn't even jump over, like, the top of the car. But It's been dead. Mm-hmm. Vince destroyed it, and they should have ended with Vince, because Vince did stuff that to this day hasn't been done. And we talk about Vince as a player, what he did in that dunk contest was amazing.
I was going to say, as great as that dunk contest was, if you saw his competition, that made it even better because you had guys like Steve Francis, Tracy McGrady. I think if you had Russell Westbrook, LeBron, Wade, D. Rose, and two other cats, I think the dunk contest would be back and would be quite interesting.
The excitement around it alone, because them cats were dunking, would get the buzz up. And it's always – I think you can always push limits. You can always push limits. And I'm not even totally against props, but there's no balance. There's no substance to it now. It's just all gimmick.
I don't like the choir. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Oh, man.
Thinking about the choir, I said, all right, come on with the choir.
Hey Jimmy, you got a call on the line. You want to take that?
Sure. All right. We have none other than Michael Jordan in the war room. Keith
Waterwright,
what's up, homie?
what's the deal, fam?
Yeah,
I was listening to y'all talk about the dunk contest, and y'all were right on point with that. Kenny Smith, he has to get so far away from the dunk contest that he's so awful, man. But like y'all, I was listening. Y'all said, you know, like LeBron, all them dudes, they need to. If you wanted to come back, you got to get the stars to go out there and dunk. I mean, LeBron does dunk contest dunks in games and in warmups all the time.
Right.
So I don't understand why he wouldn't, you know, do the contest. And then maybe they should like have a wild card spot and bring somebody that's not in the league to compete. You know what I mean? Like one of them N1 dudes or James Flight White, because that, I don't know if you saw his videos, but that dude does some amazing dunks, man.
Yeah,
I mean, his stuff is incredible.
YouTube, he does. But
James Flight White, dude's not human, man.
No, his stuff, I mean, he's doing a J.R. Ryder with two hands from the free throw line, you know?
No, he was dunking with two hands from the free throw line when he was a young boy in high school.
That's what I'm saying, double clutching, you know what I'm saying, and still got room to go.
Yeah
that's
crazy.
But for me, I just think it's time to think of something else they can do. I mean, I give them credit. They tried. They brought out remember they brought out the wheel. You had to spin the wheel to get a dunk. And they played horse at the All-Star game.
They tried every single thing.
Different things, but it's time to find something different. I like what the NHL did.
That's all because the stars wouldn't dunk. Because think about it. From a creativity standpoint, I'm going to take us back like maybe 4 years. Iggy did a dunk that we had never seen before. He should have won off that joint. You remember the one I'm talking about?
That was crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they let Nate Robinson do his dunk like 64
times. That was whack.
Iggy got robbed.
And that's another thing. They get 75 opportunities. By the time they make it, it's like, all right. You know what I mean? Like, it's crazy.
That's what hurt Derrick Williams' dunk, because it took him like 45 tries to do it.
Derrick Williams
he never did it, though. He
was never going to make that dunk at all.
He was too tired.
I'm not saying all of us are leapers, but we've all seen dunkers.
I'm a ground guy.
you can look at a person and you can see by their misses whether they can dunk or can't, or whether they've done a dunk before. Yo, dude was back down on the ground by the time he brought the ball up to dunk.
Yeah,
like,
I don't
he's
know
never
if he
done that,
that
dunk
before.
Yeah.
But after a while, like, think of something else to do. Like, after six tries, like, think of something else to do. Because you're embarrassing yourself. My whole thing is, you can be about to do the greatest dunk I've ever seen, but after you try it 17 times, by the time you get it down, I'm no longer that impressed.
Yeah,
and I guess
true,
Nate Robinson
true.
Won that contest just for the fact that he wasn't tired. Like,
he had cardio.
He
yeah,
never
had
tired.
Cardio.
He always tired.
Yeah, yeah, that dude is energetic.
When I was watching Paul George try that dunk, like when he was first put Larry Bird's face sticker on there, I was like,
yo, there's no way he can tap with his left hand and then bring his arm back and then dunk it. So he missed the first five times. Then on the last one, he like switched it up where he was able to like come completely under the rim and dunk it. I was with my wife and I was like, yo, he can't make that dunk. And he missed
it
like five times.
I wanted to know how many stickers of Larry Bird he had on him. Like,
yeah, that's what I was wondering.
Like, I mean, you guys remember Darrell Armstrong couldn't even dunk? He was laying the ball up.
Yeah, he got frustrated and just laid it up.
Yeah, he got frustrated and straight clapped board.
Yo, Tim Terry went from the foul line and like, didn't he like fall out the air or something or try to throw it in?
Yeah, he
that?
Just like, he just, his, I don't know, man, his hang time just gave out and he just
Ooh.
Landed like Tim Perry.
Tim Perry.
Tim Perry should
have
never
fell
down
to the ground.
He should have never went near the dunk contest. That's like me trying to get in the dunk contest. Come on, man.
And
I mean, nobody
like
should
six,
even
seven.
Have been out there.
Yeah.
And the bad part is
unless
Tim Perry like
the rim
to
about, you know, eight feet, then, you know, I don't get it. I don't know, man.
Yo, Larry, yo,
Larry.
Let
me ask you a question. Did you see what the NHL did with their All-Star game where they let two – they picked the captains and let them pick their own team in terms of like a pickup game.
Yeah, like
yeah,
the league go-getter, and they did a fantasy draft.
That would be hot.
Okay,
man.
I didn't know that. Oh, that's dope right there.
Yeah, the NBA should do that.
Yeah, that'll be dope. That'll be fun to watch. As long as D-Wade don't, you know, break my man's nose again and shit on some nut shit like that, you know.
So, man,
hey, yo, Mike.
Get into that.
Hey, yo,
so,
Mike,
though.
Yo, Mike, real quick, I got a question. This is Kill, by the way. Yo,
like
How would a dunk contest in the German All-Star games as compared to the current NBA All-Star games?
Yo, the ones in Germany was cool because they let just regular cats who weren't in the top league, you know,
they came out challenging.
And the regular cats would win most of the time, you know. So you had the guys that played in the top division, and then they would get some guys. They would have like a wild card and have like four or five guys that don't play in the league to come out there and dunk too, you know, that played in the lower levels in Germany. And it was crazy because the regular dudes would come out there and have some stuff with them. And, you know, I think early on, they won a lot.
Damn. That's crazy.
What I was
the
saying
only
about
thing
the league.
The NBA probably
have,
would be
you know,
afraid.
Have some random dudes coming and challenge them dudes, you know?
Yeah, the NBA probably would be afraid that if one of these random dudes got injured doing a dunk contest, that they'd be in some trouble.
Yeah, well, they got to, you know, you got to sign a waiver and all that to make sure, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
we're
going to
put
LeBron,
you on TV, but we're going to pay you dunk
They'd be afraid that LeBron would choke up on that fourth dunk and lose.
Yeah, and lose.
Regular
cap. Yeah, he might. He might. I don't know why he doesn't do it, man. I mean, the dude, he does dunk contest dunks and warm-ups, you know?
Yeah, but you know what it is. I mean, like I said before, it's a different type of athlete now. Like, these guys, because, you know, when you have, like, things like this, how social media is, it's like LeBron is one of these guys though, who actually gets over-criticized, but at the same time, he deserves a lot of his criticism. I mean, you call yourself the king. But for him, what he needs to do right now, forget a dunk contest and all that. He needs to just win.
He needs to shoot the ball.
No, he shave his head. He needs to shave his damn head.
That comes first. Right, my
first
fault. I apologize. That definitely comes
first. That's the first order of business. He got to shave his head, yo. He rocking the sunroof. That's not good.
So the next topic we're going to talk about is D-Wade following Kobe. What's your thoughts on that, Mike, before we let you go? What do you think about D-Wade following
that? I'm going to keep it 100. I didn't think he did. He meant to break his nose. I mean, you know, he came from behind. It looked like he just tried to wrap him up so he wouldn't dunk it. But that being said, it is an All-Star game, and at that point, you was beat. I mean, let the dude just go ahead and dunk the ball, you know?
So, yeah, it's not, you know, like, it's not like it was a John Wall situation where, you know, he was throwing the ball off the floor to himself or anything like that. He beat you.
Yeah.
I mean, let him.
Yeah, you got beat on the play. Like, he wasn't trying to, you know, upstage you or make you look like a, you know, like he danced on you like it was an and-one, John. You know, you got beat off a nice spin move. You let the man finish the play or just, you know, there's different ways to go about it, but I don't think you should do that in an All-Star setting,
yeah,
you know. Like,
I think
no hard fouls in All-Star.
Thanks for the call in, homie. We about to move on.
Yeah,
thanks
appreciate
for calling
it, man.
In.
All right, Mike.
Yep.
Hey, Jim, plus, like, I forgot my line of thought. I forgot what I was about to say.
Let me give you my quick thing on D-Wade's foul, and I'll let everybody speak on it. I talked about this on Broad Street Line the other day. I think it's deeper than just that, because like Dev mentioned, he's watched games in the past where D-Wade goes extra hard.
I've noticed
play,
the animosity before.
Yeah, it's definitely animosity. The reason here's my theory. I don't know if it's true or not, but, you know, Shaq and Kobe had beef, and Shaq went to Miami directly from L.A. and won a championship with D-Wade, so he poisoned it right there. You know he told D-Wade a lot of egregious things about Kobe. And
Kobe, tell me how my ass tastes. Hey, Kobe, tell me how my ass tastes.
Look at it. Kobe is the one player who – pretty much is the only other two guards that's better than D-Wade at this point. So D-Wade never makes first-team All-NBA. Because why? Because Kobe's there. He never makes first-team defense. Why? Because Kobe's there. He can't even start on the Olympic team. Why? Because Kobe's there. It's like if Kobe wasn't around, D-Wade would be considered, like, he would be looked at in his era, and he probably looked at as, like, one of the best players ever. But, you know, Kobe's kind of in his way. So the fact that Shaq poisoned the whole relationship and the fact that, Kobe's kind of in his way. He goes hard when they play each other. And also, he realizes that baby Bron ain't going to step up, so he's kind of sending a message, too. So that's my theory behind it. Anybody else want to talk about that play?
I just never got the view from Dwayne Wade that he sweats Kobe like a lot of the other players do. Like, he always seemed – that's why I always said I always thought I saw a little bit of animosity. Like, he'll say the right things in an interview – but then when they're around each other, you know, his demeanor seems a little different from the things that he, you know, the positive stuff that he said about him in the interview. So
I think
it's
in
something
an interview.
There. Like Mike said, I don't think he meant to break his nose or give him a concussion, but he meant to give him a hard foul. I don't think it was just a, you know, a wrap-up.
I
think it was a little more than a wrap-up.
I respect it. D-Wade, I've noticed he plays Kobe. D-Wade plays Kobe like D-Wade is from Philly, and he got to come home in the summer and hear some rap if he let Kobe get off on him. So I respect it. Like, I don't like the cats that are, you know, like when Ron Artest came to the Lakers and he stopped being Ron Artest and he was all giddy and dude is just another – you're at the pinnacle of the basketball world. Even if you know in your heart – that you used to have dudes poster on your wall and wore his shoes. At this point, yo, you got to look at him as your equal or your better. So I kind of respect it. I respect, you know, the fact that he's not.
Austin, I respect it if it happens this Sunday. I don't respect it in an All-Star game.
Well, if you notice, Kobe came out. He came out with a little bit more bounce and a little bit more heat because you know who Kobe was playing against. It wasn't them. He was playing against his pop. He was trying to get that record. So he came out with a heater, and he made his first, like, six or seven shots. Well, guess who's checking him?
Well, Austin, did you hear what D-Wade said at the end of the game about Kobe breaking that record?
Yeah, I didn't really have a problem with it.
Dev, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, when he said something like, yeah, he got that record because, you know, he stayed healthy all of these years. Like,
yeah,
he wasn't even giving him props.
Yeah, he was.
Because
oh.
He didn't get hurt is why he got the record.
He said Kobe got the record because, you know, he remained healthy for all these years. It's like a backhanded compliment. Like, it's more to it.
Not because he's nice. Because he remained healthy.
Because he remained healthy. I'm like, damn, cuz.
I see your point. I do see your point, Jimmy, because if Kobe's not there, it's Dwayne Wade's mantle as the best two guard in the league. And like two or three years ago, you know, the haters were salivating. They were ready to anoint the dude the best two guard. And then Kobe said, I mean, rumors of my demise are greatly exaggerated. So let me just
show you. Kobe was dealing with some issues from taking the box. But
right.
Once he bounced back, you know, but it's more to it. TJ, what were you getting ready to say?
No, damn, I forgot what I did say. I said I didn't realize that. I heard one soundbite from D-Wade after the game, and it was kind of like he was explaining why he did it, like saying, yeah, Kobe got a couple in on me, so I just got him back, but I wasn't trying to hurt him. So he definitely, I mean, the whole thing to me, it just seemed weird. I don't think he was trying to hurt him, but why in the All-Star game would you foul somebody that hard who got beat? On every possession, somebody gets beat in the All-Star game. You know what I'm saying?
And
that's why you get the shots that you get.
And, PJ, Reggie Miller had to, you know, call out the fact that Dwayne Wade, this is minutes later when he's over there getting his nose tended to, Dwayne Wade still hasn't gone over there to see if Kobe's all right. Like, you can at least say, my bad. He just did it.
In
an
All-Star
game. And he stepped off like he was mad, like it was a playoff.
Yeah.
When he hit him,
he stepped off like
he
got
fouled. Like, he turned his back to him.
Yeah,
Kobe should have said, "Don't turn your back on me, sucker."
Yeah, like, you fouled him hard and then rolled off.
You fouled Reggie hard and stepped off like he was mad at Kobe.
Yeah,
I'm like, I don't get that.
Say, man, I've seen this before. I never mentioned it because I never wanted to, you know, dig into
I'm going to say one more thing about it. D-Wade is also upset. Because he realizes that this may be his last time starting in the All-Star game. Because next year, the two guards in the East will be Jeremy Lin and Derrick Rose.
Oh, you're right, though. Actually,
why people laugh.
Jeremy Lin is
starting in the All-Star game for the long haul.
I forgot. He'd have started this year had he been playing about a month earlier.
Yeah. Exactly. They were roading men.
I forgot.
Yao got right in votes this year, and he retired. He got enough right in votes this year to make a case, and he's retired.
I'm surprised Yi Ji Liang and Wan Ju Zhu never got voted in.
No, they always get votes. They always get votes, though, Kill. They always get. There was a time when he almost made it in.
You know why they don't get
votes,
though? Because they don't put those cats on the ballot. You would have to write them in to get into the game. And, you know, most people are just going to go in and click the people that's already there. So that, I'm telling you, you put those guys on the ballot, and you might have a stupid-looking All-Star game.
We actually have a question from our chat room for the Generals. We were talking about Kobe and D-Wade. They want to know, in your guys' opinion, who is the best player in L.A.? And that includes both the Clippers and the Lakers, because someone in our chat room says that Kobe is no longer even the best player in L.A. anymore.
I don't answer dumb questions.
You think I don't know who's better? I don't think it's a dumb question at all.
I say Kobe because Blake Griffin, like, the Clippers still didn't really do anything
last year. Blake Griffin is not what they're talking about.
He's saying right now.
Not body of work. Right now, CP3 is a better player than Kobe. Not based on a body of work, but right now.
Jimmy, I answered it once. I don't answer dumb questions.
I don't think it's true. I really don't think it's a dumb question. And I'm a Lakers fan, but I don't think it's a dumb question. I mean, right now.
You're biased. Angry because of what you have to deal with emotionally, having Mike Brown as a coach, seeing Metta World one, so you're willing to entertain.
This is my man. But I'm not entertaining that question either.
Yo,
I love
CP3.
I'm not entertaining that.
All right, listen. Let me tell you what his argument is. He says Kobe doesn't get his big name.
He doesn't have an argument.
Wait a minute, Jimmy. We're saying Kobe doesn't get his big man going in comparison to CP3. CP3 is a damn point guard. He's supposed to be everybody.
I didn't even finish my statement. Y'all cutting me off.
I'm reading the same thing you're reading. I'm in the chat room, too.
He says that CP3 is a better record, while Kobe has better second and third options.
I don't think that,
CP3 is playing with the best five guards in the history of the game. What you talking about?
Guards in the history of the game?
Boris Diaw might be the best all around player in the world.
I don't see Brandon Knight in that backcourt.
True.
And Kenny Anderson never played there.
I don't really.
So all y'all say Kobe.
I say Kobe.
Yo, where else
and,
ever?
And
in
the
history,
Clippers are a half game in front of the Lakers. I mean, it's
where
really
else in history could you lead a league in scoring, put up the numbers Kobe's putting up, and have to deal with people saying you're not
the best player in your city?
I don't think it's as crazy as you guys think, because honestly, in my personal opinion, Dev, you want to screen that real quick? In my personal opinion right now, CP3 is the MVP of the league. That's just my personal opinion.
Being the MVP doesn't make you
the best.
Steve Nash was the MVP. He wasn't better than
Kobe. He's never been the best.
Listen to what I'm saying. What I'm saying, he's the best player right now. I'm not talking about body of work or who would I take it with.
I'm talking about right now, too.
I mean, well, you know, I mean, that's your opinion, man. My, you know, opinions are like 800. All
right, your opinion is right now. I ain't talking about MVP, because he may well be the MVP. I'd vote for him. But you're saying right now that CP3 is better than Kobe Bryant? Are you agreeing to that?
No, what I'm saying is it's not the way you just were quick to dismiss it. I don't think you can dismiss it like that. That's all I'm saying.
Listen, when you lead the league in scoring at 30 a game, or damn near 30 a game, and you're putting up the assists and rebound numbers, yo, I'm not entertaining that, man.
See, but you know the thing,
Ez
where when
you... Line. Ez is on the line to defend
his position. All right, hold on. I'm going to be in the minority in this one, because I'm talking about Kobe, the man himself. I understand that. My argument is this. I still say this. Kobe's the best closer in basketball, but that doesn't make you the best player in basketball right now. Last 2 minutes, I'll give it to Kobe no matter what. But CP3, he's shooting 50%, 6-7% more than Kobe Bryant. And I was saying before, I understand the problems with the Lakers. They have Mike Brown. His offensive system sucks. They have no bench. But if you look at the front court, that's the best front court in basketball. That's an advantage over everybody else that Kobe has, and he doesn't get his men going. Once his men miss three...
First of all, I think that's a myth as the best front court in basketball. I've always thought Pau Gasol was a little overrated. They brought him there and acted like Pau Gasol was the second coming when he could, you know, barely get the Grizzlies to the playoffs
He not the best Gasol in his family.
With the Grizzlies, who's the best front court then? If they're not the best front court, who is?
That's a good question, but I'm not sure that it's just that easy to say that it's them. That's arguable as well.
The only team
they're
I would say
consistent.
That comes close to the
that
Lakers
ain't hard to be
front court is the Grizzlies. I guess that's the only front court that can compete with the Lakers.
I think the Clippers front court can compete with the Lakers. The front court of the Clippers are way more athletic.
They may not be as skilled
as the Lakers, but skills don't make you the best.
Ray Allen, I just made a portion of your argument around the Lakers having a great front court. I just made the same argument to Jimmy last week, and he said, "No, not with Ron Artest averaging 1-1-1 because he's still
my fault. It's 4-1-1." Ron Artest does bring the front court down, but Gasol and Bynum.
does anybody remember what CP3 did to the Lakers last season in the first round?
It doesn't matter. They had Derek Fisher checking them. You're better than Derek Fisher.
Derek Fisher is going to make everybody look a little bit better.
Okay.
But it's Kobe's such a
great player. That he is. It's not like the Hornets had a two-guard that Kobe had to worry about. He should have said, "Hey, Fish, go guard whoever the hell's playing two-guard and let me get on CP3, which he did at times, and he was still cooking them. Still cooking the Lakers last year.
He's a 6'2 guard. I mean, he shouldn't even be able to guard those guys. I think the argument you're making is kind of apples and oranges. Go ahead, PJ, I'm sorry. He's in the middle of something.
No, I'm not saying. Did I say that was Jim? I think that's Jim. But no, all I was saying is I still think that Kobe is still the best all-around player in the league. So that's why it's hard for me to just say that Chris Paul is better than him. And,
asking,
you know, I mean, Chris Paul is a great point guard.
Why is Kobe
but
still
why
the best player all around? Why? If
to me, because when I consider his...
It seems like he loses confidence in his own teammates. Isn't that part of basketball chemistry, playing with your team?
Well,
once it's Paul Gasol, Andrew Bynum, they have a bad first quarter, Kobe's chucking up those shots. That's it. No one else. I've got the rest of the game to myself.
But that's another thing. You talk about field goal percentage.
On that roster, besides those three guys, no one else can get buckets on their own.
Let me make a point real quick. I think it's more merit to your argument than people give you credit for. But because I honestly think that CP3 is the MVP right now. But this to me, when I watch the Lakers play, it shows me how important that Phil Jackson was, because Kobe can score on whoever he wants to score on, but Kobe doesn't play championship ball, without Phil as his coach. This reminds me of when Kobe scored all those points, and you know he kept scoring 30 and 40 when Phil wasn't there before. But when you watch the team play, they weren't playing championship ball. And this is why people say he doesn't get his big men involved and all these things. I mean, he does put up 5 assists.
Okay,
but
Jim, I can agree with what you're saying, but why does that have to fall on Kobe? Why can't that be Mike Brown and the coaching staff not being able to get out of the other guys what Phil Jackson could get out of the other guys?
No, I agree with you. It definitely goes to Mike Brown.
Kobe didn't always have to do what he has to do.
But what I'm saying is, when you listen to Kobe in interviews and look at his the way he actually carries himself, it's sort of like, look, these dudes ain't doing it. I got to put it all on my shoulders. And you know that can be admirable, but at the same time, I see when other people say he. The biggest knock on Kobe is he's selfish, and part of that is because he wants to win at all costs. So I understand why people say the things they say.
But if his other teammates aren't contributing, or I mean, Kobe used to like defer a little bit earlier in the game and then take over later in the games. But I guess to an extent, if you try to defer to the others and get everybody else involved, and they're not delivering, then it. Yeah, as I'm saying, in his role and who he is and the type of player that he is, it's incumbent upon him to pick up the slack. So, I mean, sometimes he may do it a little earlier than he does in other games. I mean, if that's – he still, to me, has a lot on his shoulders. Like,
I agree.
He does have a great front court. Well, I won't say great, but, I mean, you got the Twin Towers. But at the same time, you know those guys. Gasol is temperamental.
The word you're looking for, PJ, is he has a talented front court. He has a very talented front court. Is it good? Is it great? No, because they're not consistent. What their talent allows them to do, Andrew Bynum could put up 40. Andrew Bynum could be a 25 and 12 guy. Pau Gasol can be a 25 and 12 guy. At least once a month, Pau Gasol got to drink cranberry juice, and we know why. And Andrew Bynum is still kind of young. He's young acting.
But Austin, to his point, when you watch them play, when you watch the game, a lot of times he flags them off in the post. He doesn't give them the ball. I'm not blaming him for that. But me and you have had a conversation where you say, I don't care whether they're playing championship ball. I'll tune into the Lakers to watch them score because I'm a Sixers fan.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm a Sixers fan.
What I'm saying is, when I watch them play, I don't care whether he scores 40 or he scores 20. I'm talking about the way they're playing the ball as a team, as a cohesive unit. And like I said, this to me shows you how important Phil was in the mix of all this. Mike Brown, to me, is a horrible coach. He has no offensive system.
We all agree there.
I think he takes a lot of blame. But before we let you guys, let me ask you a question.
Who do you think is the best
point guard in the game? Who do you think is the best point guard? Do you think CP3 is the best point guard in the league?
Jeremy Lin.
If you ask me personally, I always had a possible between him and D. Dimes, but since D. Dimes is with New Jersey, he has nobody. It's hard for me to make an argument for him right now. He's only shooting like 40% out there. So right now, we'll say CP3. And
I don't think Derrick Rose
is up to their status yet.
I would say I'm with you. I would call it like this. I would say that I still think Deron Williams is the best point guard in the league, but I think Chris Paul is playing better right now. But
yeah,
to your point, because you made a point with Kobe and Chris Paul about field goal percentage, I kind of think that's apples and oranges too, because Chris Paul, one, doesn't shoot as much as Kobe. He doesn't take as many difficult shots as Kobe, and he's not being guarded by 6'6 to 6'8 people either. So, I mean, you know.
Well,
if he's going to dime off a lot of times his shots are going to be open because people are looking for him to pass.
Taking nothing
away from Chris Paul. He's balling, but.
That's a good point.
LA still belongs to Kobe.
That's a good point. Degree of difficulty on shots. One of the things that doesn't get addressed a lot, when you look at offensive sets and how teams work, so you look at these two teams run their offense. If they can't get a shot out of their offense, Kobe is the only person that can create in the last 8 seconds or the last 6 seconds of their shot clock for himself to get a bucket versus CP3, who can obviously create, but he's got more options in the later part of the shot clock.
Matt, this still goes back to Mike Brown. The Lakers get no easy shots.
Oh, you're right, Jimmy. You're right.
They get no easy shots. Listen, man, oh, this whole thing boils down to Mike Brown is a horrible coach.
I totally agree about Mike Brown, but your points about that the Lakers have, you said the Clippers have more options. I disagree because Blake Griffin, in some sense, still does have a post game. His shot is not consistent.
No.
Jordan, we know he has no offensive game. Caron Butler is still a solid offensive player. But besides that, they have no shooters. They don't have any skilled offensive players. Oh, they have Mo Williams. I apologize for that.
What I'm talking about is when they run their sets, because you're right, Jordan has no post game, and Blake's is still developing. But late in the shot clock, Mo Williams can create. Hell, Mo Williams creates early. He's a gun. So he's creating. Caron Butler can create for himself. And Chris Paul can create. So there are options to create. There's no one on the Lakers roster that can create for themselves.
Derek Fisher.
I disagree. Paul Gasol. I think you're selling short on Paul Gasol. The man's he's probably the best passing power forward in basketball, and I think he can get his own shot off, create his own shot if you throw it down there in the post.
Well, that's one option.
As long as him and his girlfriend get along.
I think he'd be the best at a lot of things if he was consistent.
Do you guys think the Lakers are championship contenders right now?
No, not with Mike Brown involved.
I don't think they are either. I agree with you guys. I think they're one piece away. Maybe like if they could get, like I mentioned this before, Nick Young from off the bench. I think if they get a score off the bench, I think they'll be up there again for championship. They're really close.
If Ron Artest was Indiana Ron Artest, they'd be in the mix just as well as anybody.
Now, here's something.
I was listening
to some L.A. radio, and they said there's a rumor going around that after the All-Star break, Dwight Howard is saying, if I'm traded to L.A., I'm not signing the extension.
Yeah,
and part of the reason they believe that is because after talking to certain players in the All-Star weekend, he doesn't want to play with Mike Brown.
No. Great. What I heard, you guys heard about that Kobe, that – Kobe said that he wants him to be like more of a defensive player, like a fourth option on the team or a third option. And that's why
I
don't want to go. I know there's rumors, but.
Well, that's what he is now. I mean, he's another one with an underdeveloped post game, you know, but he's just so athletic that it's, you know, it's hard to contend with him when he gets going. But
it definitely is. I don't know what the Lakers will do, but they're definitely not a championship contending team right now. But we'll see what happens, though.
All right.
Thanks for the call, man.
All right. No problem, guys.
Crazy,
stay safe.
But all right,
take it
easy. All right, let's move into some football real quick. I got a couple of football stories, and then we can actually get back into basketball and talk a little bit about the second half of the season before we move on. But I know y'all heard on the radio yesterday in Philly, Plaxico, a.k.a. Cheddar Bob, as Jimmy calls him, he wants to be an Eagle. And, you know, he went on the radio, and he's not shy in saying it. But, I mean, I guess when you just did a bid and, you know, you got some love from one team, you really can't be ashamed with trying to market yourself and actually beg for work. There's a few Eagles fans on here. Would you guys take Plaxico? Would y'all take a flyer
on
Plaxico?
Absolutely. What do we have to lose? Because we can't – at his age, in this stage of his career, it's not like we got to spend a lot of money on plaques. And I can recall having this conversation on our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/warroomsports. And I was talking to a New York fan, and he was saying, well, all he does is he get a little bit of separation in the red zone. He still gets respect down there, but he really can't run routes anymore. He can't get away from it. I said, if you look at the Eagles, no one worries about us in the red zone. That's where we need respect.
Yeah.
That's where we need. So if he only gets respected in the red zone, we only get respected outside of the red zone. So it's a perfect marriage for the right price.
So really, what you're saying we need is a Philadelphia Eagles Chris Carter, and he can play that role.
Yes.
All you do is score a touchdown.
Yes. Yes.
I think I would take a flyer on him too, especially if we can get him for cheap. Like if he's
veteran minimum type money.
All we need him for is third down conversions. And red zone.
Well, I guess so, because now that D. Jackson got franchised up, he's not going to be one of the starting wides. They're not going to bench Macklin
I wouldn't even expect him to start. You know what I'm saying? I would actually expect him to keep most of the core intact the way it is. You just use dudes situationally. You know, it's one of those things. Like Plaxico even said it himself. He said you can game plan for speed, but you can't really game plan for size. So you know what we're trying to do when he comes in, but if you can't stop it, then, hey, it's whatever. I don't know if Mike Vick can throw a fade.
Playing for the Jets, was he not one of the starters?
Yeah, he started for the Jets, but
no,
he started for them. Yeah, they're anemic at wide receiver, though. But they said Pittsburgh is actually interested again because they released Hines Ward, and they're not even going to franchise Mike Wallace. They're going to tender him. So basically, he can get offer sheets from other teams, and it's up to Pittsburgh whether or not they want to match it. And if they don't match an offer he gets, they get a first-round pick in return. So they're taking a little bit of a gamble with Mike Wallace. I don't think I'm as high on Mike Wallace as a lot. You know, to me, he's a bigger DeSean Jackson, kind of
there,
a one-trick pony,
go.
Fast
Yo,
as hell.
You just hit the nail on the head, and Pittsburgh knows that. That's why they didn't franchise him. That's why they didn't make him an offer, because if an offer comes in from another team that's willing to overpay, they're like, go ahead, let him walk. All he is a speed dude. He's not a router. He doesn't sit down in the zone. He just go over the top.
Yeah.
Okay.
A lot of casual fans are kind of fooled
casual
by
fans
that.
Get fooled
people get excited by the big plays.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And like you just said, yo, I would keep our core intact. I would still have Jason Avant as my possession guy, my third receiver. Ben Plaxton as the fourth, and get rid of the surfer dude. The Riley Cooper experiment is over.
I like Riley Cooper, man. Why you dissing Riley? I think Riley next. And I think him and Vic have some kind of little, camaraderie going, because at one point Vic was the scout team quarterback. I mean, he was a scout team quarterback at once, so that's somebody he's familiar with. But
that's not getting the ball.
That's why he threw that deplorable pass in the playoffs last time we was there.
Oh yeah.
And they tried to blame Riley for it.
I know where this is going to go, so let's be quick on this one. But Donovan McNabb was on the radio in Washington, kind of speaking on Peyton Manning's situation, and he's basically saying Peyton wouldn't go to the Redskins. And a lot of the stuff that he used to back up his point is kind of, well, look what happened to me when I went to the Redskins. And, you know, I went there and they didn't cater the offense around the strengths of the quarterback. Man, before y'all even get started on this, dude, your strengths aren't Peyton Manning's strengths. I don't think you need to be comparing yourself to Peyton Manning in this situation, because if Peyton Manning goes to Washington or anywhere else, he's going to have the same kind of control he's always had. That should tell you something about yourself, that they didn't cater around the talents that you think you have.
I'm gonna refrain from disrespecting Donovan McNabb, because I think he's an embarrassment. He's an embarrassment to the city of Chicago. But my homie Jeff, a ranked top five, is in the chat room, so I'm just gonna leave it at that.
Yeah.
Yo, he's a player hater.
lay your head down, get on the ground.
Like, seriously, Donovan, that's bad because Donovan is trying to take the route of now he's going to be commentating. And it's bad for us because being Philly fans and damn near seeing every snap of his career, the stuff that he's going to – it's just hard for me. I don't even have anything to explain it, but it's just like Donovan, you were so overrated, dog.
But, PJ, what you're saying is he's going to go – he's going to go to the studio and say a bunch of stuff critiquing
people that
he couldn't do himself.
He's going to explain all where the throws need to be and what you need to do in this down and distance and in this circle. I'm like, man, we cried for you to do this stuff, please. But anyway, man got to do what he got to do. He got to earn a living.
And you know what I was
I got Jimmy started. Right.
You know what I would dare him to say? You know what I would dare him to say? I would dare him to say something like on a third down, tell somebody, well, in that situation, you got to get to the sticks. You can't throw it like 2 yards. You can't throw it 8 yards and 10 yards because he was the king of that. So I would dare him to ever say something.
Will break my TV and just be down the television in the crib straight up. I'll be down one TV if he do that.
Well, this is what he said.
This dude frustrates me when he gets talking, man.
He said, I don't see Peyton ending up in Washington because what happens now is you're bringing in another veteran who'll be 35, 36, who's been in one offense throughout his career. It's the same situation. Basically saying the same situation. No, it's not the same situation because Peyton Manning is head and shoulders better than you. So
you're
not different.
Like, everything he said hinges on the fact that Peyton is 10 times the quarterback McNabb ever was. So, like, your argument ain't going to work.
I agree with a lot of people. I agree with people's sentiments and saying, okay, even Peyton and Washington, they don't have a line. You know, they don't have a good offensive line. He doesn't have that much to work with, and, you know, he's still working with Kyle Shanahan. Granted, I get all of that. Peyton Manning probably won't be Indianapolis Colts Peyton Manning, but he will not go out there unless his neck no longer moves. He will not go out there and embarrass himself like Donovan McNabb did. So it is not the same situation.
Didn't Donovan McNabb have, like, 33 yards in a game last year, man? Peyton Manning's not doing that. Like you said, unless his neck don't move at all.
He had a half a drive worth of yards.
A total yard in 60 minutes. Come on, Donovan.
All right, I haven't said much.
Well, we ain't got that much
time. I was wondering
where
you was at.
Kill him quick.
Because Dev told me, basically, he was talking to me. So I'm going to just say the only human being on the face of the planet that I hate is dude. So I can't be objective. There ain't no point in me talking. But I definitely would extend the opportunity for him to fight me in any parking lot disrespecting Peyton Manning.
His arm is right. He ain't going to be able to hit you. He got T-Rexes, man. He's
staying on the topic of quarterbacks. Robert Griffin III, RG3, runs a 4.41 at the combine, and the world goes bananas. How important is running, sprinting in the combine as a quarterback when you didn't even throw? And I'm not saying he has to throw, but I'm saying you're a quarterback. That's the most important part. So why is everybody kind of like this second pick has become the most viable second pick in the history of the league?
In the history,
And it jumped up like that. I mean, it was already viable, but it jumped up even more when the dude ran a 4.41. People keep talking about this kind of weaponry. We've seen Mike Vick. A lot of these analysts have spent the last 10 years telling you why Mike Vick will never be a great quarterback, but when somebody else shows the same tools as Michael Vick, the world loses its mind. How important
because
is him running a 4.41 for you guys in the combine?
It's more exciting. It's excitement. It sells jerseys. It gets highlights. So the league is a copycat league. They know what's selling, and they're going to try and push this until they get it right. And the quarterback position is changing. You see all of the spread offenses run. The pro, as much as scouts want to see you run the pro, it's almost as if the pro game is changing itself to accommodate what's going on in college, which is the spread. So you're seeing more and more of these mobile athletic quarterbacks. I'm not surprised that RG3 ran a 4.4. It was actually a 4.38 unofficial because dude is a track athlete. Like, he runs track. So I expected him to run a fast 40. What I was impressed with, it was an interview he did with Jaws where he ran through several pro set plays out of the West Coast offense. I was impressed with that. I don't think that he's going to come into the league and be a Donovan or be a Mike Vick. I think, I'm not sure because we won't know, but I think he's got some brains. I think he's got some brains. He's saying all the right things.
Why, because he's well-spoken?
Because
he don't
black
jag
words.
He don't speak jive.
He don't speak jive.
Now the way that he wears his hair definitely has me questioning.
Well, listen, Austin, real quick. Today is March 1st, 2012.
Like,
and I just want to say to everybody out there, I will never comment on RG3, negative or positive, until he cuts his hair. I'm done.
Yeah. And me, I don't want to sound like I'm bashing the dude or hating on the dude. It's just, it's not him. I just don't like the whole nature of drafts and combines and everything because, you know, okay, he got some hype. He just won the Heisman. Exactly. But it's like one thing can happen, and now the whole world, you know, a lot of people saying, hey, the coach need to just take him number one. He's the best player in the draft after they spent the last 4 years slurping Andrew Luck to no end. I just don't like the nature of the beast because now they're going to overhype him. Everybody's expectations are going to go up, and if he doesn't have a Cam Newton-type rookie year, then all of a sudden they're probably going to try to tear the young dude down.
I was about to say to answer your question real quick, very close to Cam Newton's.
Yeah,
I saw that. I would say to answer Dev's initial question, I give about as much credence to his 40 time as I would give to the offensive lineman's 40 time. Because,
exactly.
We know he's mobile. So, like, the fact that he may have gotten a 4.4 versus a 4.5, like, what difference that tenth of a second is going to make him a better quarterback? Like, I think they go a little bit too far with the combine. We knew he was fast. Like, here's my thing. We knew the guy was a track athlete, right? And we knew he was fast before the combine. So when he runs a fast time, why does that put him on this trajectory as the Michael Vick speed with Tom Brady and Joe Montana's ability all of a sudden? Like, he's the conglomerate of all those three.
Well, I don't know.
That's what was surprising to me.
I personally don't watch the combine because it reminds me of a slave auction. But what I read, it said that it was a lot more. It was a lot of the talks that the GMs had with him, the way he communicated. Like you said, he doesn't solve jobs.
They
so.
Make him sound like a monkey,
Jimmy,
too, though.
That's what I
like
to say, Jim.
They're
happy because he's a black dude who can speak the king's English. That makes him smart in their eyes. In their eyes, that makes him smart.
Most black people don't pronounce the T at the end of a word with the T.
He ended up being a playbook idiot, but because he can capture the king's English,
he can articulately.
What they've determined essentially is, well, because he speaks well, he's marketable to a whole other demographic.
Some of us can speak.
I feel that. We can sell him to Tyler Perry fans. So I wish him well, but it's just crazy.
I mean, one great year, you know, in college, where he came on the scene like gangbusters, won the Heisman, and then, you know, a great 40 time later, and this is the greatest number two pick. I mean, they're talking multiple first rounders, a second, and two firsts, a first next year, and like a second for this guy. That's like one of the
offers. Listen, man, teams are thirsty to get a quarterback. But at the same time, this is the world we live in. It's not more egregious than Mike Mamula going in the first round. That was the worst thing I think I've ever seen in my life. Mike Mamula put in work at the combine. He was running and lifting everything. He went from like the third round to the first round.
And couldn't play because of his short shuttle. And couldn't play football. No, you're definitely right.
Like, so I, yeah, they definitely, you know, like, I don't even care about an offensive lineman running a 40. Because even if he's a pulling guard or something like that, he doesn't have to be a sprinter to do that. You know,
right.
Play starts, run, go out there and block somebody.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, screen plays, if you run too far down the field anyway, they're going to call illegal man downfield. So
illegal
I don't
man.
Need him to be that fast. Just block somebody.
Listen, man, Tom Brady ran like a 13-4 in the 40. if you look at the NFL's all-time leading receiver, he had a bad 40 time. The NFL's all-time leading rusher had a bad 40 time.
Well,
I mean,
they said,
so at the end
they
of the
was
day,
even
man,
impressed with Andrew Luck's giddy-up. They say he surprised everybody. But
yeah.
I'm like, it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, these dudes are going to stand.
It's the copycat league. Like you said, Dev, they're being set up for failure because the expectation is that both those young men will step into roles where they will duplicate Cam Newton's success and the boy from Cincinnati.
Listen, man, this is you know what, though?
Andy.
It's like Ben Roethlisberger and Tom Brady, like, this is what it is now. The cats are thrown to the fire and expected to produce. They no longer get time to develop anymore. I mean,
right.
How long was it before Ben won a chip? And although he did play with a dominant defense, but Ben was in a chip. How long was that? First year, second year?
I think it was his first year.
Was
he
it his first year? I think it was his first year, wasn't it?
It may have
been.
Because
I think he got in after somebody got
six?
Injured. I don't know.
Yeah,
we have to look that up, but. It was early. I know that. It was early.
Tommy Maddox got injured.
Now Tommy Maddox from the XFL. But even when with Brady, when he got his opportunity, it's like Brady never really developed like old school style. You know what I mean? You have a couple of horrible years and then you develop into a great player. Like,
you know,
cats are expected to produce right now.
It's funny that we have this conversation because even as the NFL changes, I think there's a certain foundation that is being eroded away, but the principles of that foundation are still what win games and what breed success. If you look at three of the four teams that were in the AFC and NFC championship games, three of those four were pretty strong fundamentally in terms of good lines, run the ball, play great defense. So all of this passing for what? It's to sell. And merchandise.
Well, I mean, even if you look at those teams, you're talking about the Ravens being one. They have a young quarterback. Well, I don't know if you consider Flacco young at this point, but he was thrown right into the fire. I mean, he was thrown in and expected to compete for a championship.
And that's the thing, Jim. Like, the reason, like you said, they used to get a good two to 3 years before they even got judged. Now
exactly.
You can't, and I think the money has a lot to do with that. I mean, maybe they'll get a year now because nobody's making Sam Bradford money anymore. So maybe you'll get
a
year.
Sam Bradford is like hit the lottery, but he came out at the right time because he got the $80 million contract, and next year Cat got like 20. Like, yo, his timing was perfect.
And then, Cam Newton probably raised the bar for these dudes, so they really can't come in half stepping now.
And that's
what
I'm saying. Sam
before
Bradford,
Jimmy gets into
down Charlie.
A little bit more basketball talk, second half of the season, just wanted to. Pretty sure y'all have heard by now, but NFL opening day has been pushed up to Wednesday, September 5th, because of the Democratic National Convention. They don't want to step on President Obama's toes, so they moved it up.
Everybody else
I guess that's good for the league. I mean, for fans, because people are going to be geeking that week waiting for football. That's not that good for us, because, you know, our show always runs on the first night of the season. So that kind of a bummer for the war room, but I'm sure everybody else would be ecstatic to see football earlier in the week.
I'm gonna send my homies with the SUNY to go see Goodell about that. Anyway,
is this the first Wednesday game ever in the NFL?
That's whack.
I think so.
Listen, let's talk about the NBA second half. But before I do, let me just say that this is brought to you by Stitcher Smart Radio. You can now hear our show, The War Room, on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your computer, your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. But like I always say, if you do have a BlackBerry or a Palm phone, go to your nearest roof and jump off. The latest episode is always available for you. No syncing needed and no memory or storage wasted. Downloading is easy. You can click on the Stitcher logo on our website, or you can go right to stitcher.com/thewarroom. Now, We don't have to talk about this, but the Sacramento Kings are staying in Sacramento. They're getting a new arena. So I don't think any of us really care.
Not really. It's just one point about that, though, because, you know, they remember they were going to put that team in Anaheim, and they were going to have three teams in Southern California. So it is good that they got to keep their team, because remember back in the Chris Webber, Mike Bibby days, they had a good place to play. It was loud in there, and, you know, they had the cowbells going. So they said during All-Star weekend, Kevin Johnson, who's the mayor of Sacramento, David Stern, and the Maloofs sat down and nailed it all out. So they're going to get their $387 million arena.
Yo,
who
Kevin
raised
Johnson,
the king.
Gangster, man. Kevin Johnson is gangster. He wants to be in, like,
yeah.
you know, great
taxpayers
going.
Taxpayers going to pay for 50% of it.
Shout out to Kevin Johnson just for that one dunk on Hakeem, though. Anyway.
not for being the mayor.
Not for being a mayor, for that dunk on Hakeem. That's more impressive than being a mayor. Anyway, Kobe dropped 31-7-8. We talked about Kobe earlier. With that corny protective mask on. You guys see that?
Yeah, the
yeah,
mask.
I know.
Mama.
Yeah.
His face probably stink.
He said he was drinking his sweat as he was playing.
Yeah.
Ew, that's
yeah.
So, sometimes, personally, when I watch the NBA, I feel like Vince McMahon works in the front office of the NBA. And for those who know who Vince McMahon is, that's you know, WWE, because everything seems scripted. So D-Wade breaks Kobe's nose, he's playing with a mat, has a tremendous first game back, and now they play the Heat on Sunday. It's like,
doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. They're going to smack the Lakers. Kobe's going to go 7 for 95. It's the same script every time those teams play. Everybody hypes it up. Miami going to smack them. The Lakers can't beat the Heat. That's just my thought. They can't beat the Heat.
It's
too many people.
Matchup.
Yeah, it's a lot of. They got a lot of people that they could throw on Kobe one-on-one and at the same time, so he doesn't really have a good game against them. It's not like he's just going against D. Wade.
Yo, the Lakers are
go 7 for 90.
The Heat are one of the most athletic teams I think I've ever seen play, ever. Like, if you watch them play live, the way they move up and down the court, no rainbow, is like, yo, it's like a track meet.
Yeah, you play against the Heat, you better crash the boards like nobody's business, because once
that's
they get
right.
out.
When they play the Knicks, Jeremy Lin looked like, yo, this ain't the same league I've been playing in the last time. Like, yo, he was getting plucked. He couldn't even get the ball past half court. And it's like,
yo, Mario Chalmers was going just straight, listen, stand still, don't move, let me open your pockets up and look down and see what's in your pocket. No,
yeah.
Don't move.
It looked like they found Jeremy Lin in a roadside ditch.
His face, too, looked like, rough. Yo, like, this ain't the same league I've been playing in. It looked like Bill Ellerby was coaching the Heat. They were just putting the press
like
on and taking
said.
A rock from me.
And like Dad said, a lot of teams get out on you off of turnovers like that. These dudes just get off of rebounds. It's not even it's not even a turnover. It's a rebound. You better crash and you better get back. But the bad part about it is, even if you get back, because typically it's going to be a guard that gets back fast, with LeBron and D-Wade coming at
you're
going
to get banged on.
Dog. You're going to get banged on and you're going to get out the way. So it's just putting somebody else, adding another victim to the crime. Like, yo,
BJ is exactly right, though, because a lot of times, how many times have y'all seen this from the Heat? They get the rebound and then throw a long touchdown pass to somebody streaking down the court.
Exactly.
You know, and then sports center swallow for like 20 minutes. But
at least sports center every damn day. Yeah.
You know, and half the time they don't catch it in stride. They catch it in the air and just lay the jaw up. Like,
they
basically brought all the apes from the set. Planned it up.
The apes.
They just running.
I'm just telling you, there's something. Let me ask you guys a question about the hometown Philadelphia 76ers. What do you think? Are they frauds? And what do you think about this team?
I don't know. You know, I'm diehard to that casket drop, but I'm starting to think that we're pretending like a mug. Everything that worked in the beginning of the season, it's not really working anymore. And in the beginning, the knock was, okay, they weren't playing anybody. And even I, you know, that was my sentiment. And then they actually beat a few teams in the upper echelon of the league. And you think, okay, but maybe we have something here. But I don't think this team is confident enough to remain a contender. You know, sometimes their body language in a tight game
or in a game just against a better team, their body language doesn't show you that they know in their head that they can beat anybody.
Yo,
and I kind of saw that last night because there was no way the Thunder should have won that game last night. But at the end of that game, when the Sixers couldn't score, everybody's body language went to, you know, LeBron in the last minute.
It's almost like they wake up. It's almost like they wake up and they're like, damn, we're not really supposed to be here. It gets cold. We can't really beat those guys.
Yeah.
And they believe that.
Yeah.
So it's something to be said for the psychology behind confidence. I mean, really believing that you're supposed to win and you're going
to. It's difficult when your go-to man in the stretch is, you know, six-foot guard off the bench. Like, I don't knock Lou because Lou hasn't been performing the way that he's been that he used to perform. So, you know, I'm not going to knock him, though, because he got heart, and he's one of the only people on the team that still has the heart to take the big shots, but they're just not falling anymore. And that's what I told somebody earlier today. I'm like, he has the heart to take them, but unlike most teams that have a superstar, Lou Williams is stoppable. And that's the difference. We used to have a six-foot guard taking the big shots, but dude was in the category of unstoppable. Lou Williams is stoppable.
It's funny because I blame Mike for this whole like phenomenon of people like considering you need like a star player to take
in the clutch.
In a clutch shot. I blame Mike for that, yo, because when I think back in NBA history, and like we all love the history of the game, and you read that, a lot of players back in the day, it was never about the star player taking the shot at the end of the game, because most of the time, you know, back when basketball was played with fundamentals and with sets, you ran your normal offense, you ran your set. Mike made it where, though, if you're the star, you got to give me the ball and clear out, because that's the Michael Jordan phenomenon. So young players from now feel as though they have to do that. Before Mike, it was like, you clear, even when Larry Bird and Magic, a lot of times the Celtics and Lakers ran their sets. It just so happens that, you know, Magic hookshot at 12 just like I thought, or, you know, Bird with the shot. But that's the Mike phenomenon right there, yo.
I think other players that aren't stars, I think because of it, they've all become, you know, they feel inadequate now.
Yeah, let me get off
the list. A lot of those dudes aren't even looking to take the shot because they know they're going to get cursed
out. Teams don't want to clear out the whole game. They run a set. All of a sudden, the clutch, let's clear it out. You ain't clearing it out the whole game, though. Like, you know what I mean? That's what bothers me with the Sixers a lot of times. It's like, yo, you don't run clear out the entire game.
Keep playing the way you played the whole game. We don't have to keep giving the ball to Lou Williams. Do what you've been doing. Like, Thaddeus, you know, streak through the lane, break through for an open layup. Keep running. I agree 100%, Jimmy. Like,
so
the Sixers are a team that plays with fundamentals without a superstar, but at the end of the game, you know, people feel
they don't believe in themselves. They don't believe in themselves and the offense enough. But with that being said, back to another dialogue we had, now you still take Lou over Harden?
I never said
I said Harden the whole time. I said Harden.
Wait. Time out. When did I ever say that? I said I think Lou Williams is the sixth man of the year.
For sixth man of the year. That's what I'm talking about.
Yes, I will take Lou Williams as sixth man of the year, but Harden is head and shoulders a better player than Lou Williams. Don't twist me up now. Don't have the people looking at me crazy.
You said that you would take him as sixth man of the year.
Yeah, sixth man of the year. Harden is a much better player.
That's what I was asking about.
What I said on that segment is I take Harden both a sixth man of the year, and I think he's a better player.
No, I mean, he's head and shoulders a better player, in my opinion. I only said the whole Lou thing just because it's because of the Sixers' dynamic versus the Thunder dynamic. It really doesn't have anything to do with the two players. Lou comes off the bench and leads his team in scoring. So I'm giving him a merit badge for that. I mean, dude, on this team, Harden would be the Sixers' best player. He'd be our leading scorer. So it's just a different situation. He's playing with two all-stars, first and second team NBA. So he comes off, he drops his 15 or 16, you know, but these dudes are dropping 40 and 50 sometimes. It's just a dynamic. I'm just saying because what Lou is to the Sixers. But he's not a better player than Harden. Not at all. Not even close.
Yeah, no doubt. So with that being said, like we're getting out of time. I'm going to ask you guys a quick question. Does everybody believe the Thunder are the team to beat in the West? Are we all in agreement in that? Does the Thunder are the team to beat?
I think they've become that team, but I do think they are beatable.
How about you, Austin?
Too many weaknesses in the front court.
Okay. PJ, how about you?
I agree. I think they're beatable. I don't know.
Okay.
San Antonio, well, man. I don't know.
You said San Antonio had a chance? Who do you guys think?
Maybe.
I think San Antonio had a chance.
San Antonio, maybe.
No, I think the Thunder are the team to beat, but I, like PJ said, I think San Antonio could probably beat them. The Lakers, given they make some kind of move and add a piece during before the trade deadline, they might be able to step back up to a level where they can beat them. That might be the Mavs.
what about Portland? What about Portland?
Portland might not even make the playoffs.
Yo, here's something I was going to bring up before we go. I heard a rumor. I don't know how true this is. I'm just throwing this out there. That
it ended today.
About D Howard and Deron. They said D Howard and Deron have kind of like sort of like the Super Three did in Miami. They already had their meeting, and basically the reason why Deron is being quiet and D. Howard is like, you know, whatever, he's already decided they're both going to play in Dallas next year.
That's
really?
Because I thought you were about to say play together, and I was about to say, but it might not be in Jersey. Yeah, they might be going to Dallas.
That's the rumor. The rumor is they already decided it, which is why they're like, you know, you haven't noticed Deron hasn't said anything. He's just being quiet and like basically tanking his season. For more work, he just tanked his season. Mm-hmm. But the reason he's not saying anything is because him and Dwight have already decided they want to play for Dallas.
I don't think he's tanking. I think D. Will is being the most professional out of all of these dudes.
I'm talking about the way he's playing.
I think the circumstances
of
his team, you know, his play is down because of the circumstances
he's got
playing.
A gun.
I think he's being the most
I'm not knocking him for that. I'm just saying when you watch them play, if you watch them play like. Once it seems like the team is out of it, he like checks out. If the game is close, he cuts on. But if they get down by 10, he kind of checks out. But anyway,
well,
that's either here nor there.
Even coaches
saying,
are
like,
doing that this year, though. They like, you know, we play like back to back to backs. So you know, if we get blown out, there's no use. But
yeah,
that
so
just sound bad.
Is,
that just sound bad to use the word tanking like that. Using my man tanking.
I guess you're right. I apologize. I should have said tanking. I should have said. He's looking forward to next season already. the rumor is they're trying to play in Dallas. They're trying to play in Dallas, and like Dirk will still be around, so it'll be Dirk, D. Howard, and D. Will. And, you know, so that's the rumor. Mm. Who knows?
They might be able to stop them three and two other bodies. They may be able to stop the Miami Heat, but.
That's my last question before we check out of here. Does anybody think that the Heat are beatable? Because watching them play right now, they look like they're head and shoulders above everybody else, in my opinion.
They look head and shoulders above everybody else last year.
Last year they were on a little stretch.
They were struggling last year.
They started out like 12-13 or something crazy. They were
And they couldn't beat the better teams in the league. They didn't look like this last year. Chemistry is different this year. I can't see it, but, you know.
I was hoping the Bulls could do it just because I wanted to see somebody else give them some kind of. But I
they can't.
Even with Rip come back, I don't even.
Man, look, Joakim Noah hangs out with transsexuals. So, never mind, that's another story. But,
yo, is Rip back?
I think he's coming back this week.
Coming back.
I thought it was this week, right? Okay. Yeah, still, I don't think that's going to make a difference with that Heat team, though.
96.
Yeah, no doubt. So everybody's pretty much saying that. I was waiting for Brad to give me, like, a team that could beat him, say, 6 or something. But, you know, you let me know.
The Knicks.
Let's get out of here. You said the Knicks are back.
The Knicks are back, baby.
Thanks for joining us in the world this evening, good people. Special thanks to everyone who participated in the chat room, Facebook, Twitter, and the people that called in. Tune in next week, same time, same place, for the greatest sports show in the history of mankind. We'll be talking NBA trades and free agency in NFL. And, of course, we'll be catching you up with the best sports stories of the week. So until next week, you can find us all over the Internet. We own that.
Say that I'm foolish. I only talk about Jews. Do you fools listen to music? nigga, do you just skim through it? See, I'm influenced by the ghetto you ruined. The same dude, you gave nothing. I made something doing what I do through and through. And I give you the news with a twist of just his ghetto point of view. The renegade, you've been afraid. I penetrate pop culture, bring them a lot closer to the block where they pop toasters. And they live with their moms, got dry roasters. From botch robberies, niggas crashed over. Mommy's knocked up cause she wasn't watched over. Knocked down by some clown when child support knocked. No, he's not around. Now how that sound till you jot it down? I bring you through the ghetto without riding round. Hiding down, ducking strays from frustrated youth stuck in their ways. Just read a magazine that fucked up my day. How you rate music that thugs with nothing relate to it? I help them see they way through it, not you. Can't step in my pants, can't walk in my shoes. Bet everything you're worth, you lose your tie and your shirt.
If I'm in a position to talk to these kids and they listen, I ain't no politician, but I kick it with them a minute. Cause see, they call me a menace. And if the shoe fits, I wear it. But if it don't, then y'all will swallow the truth, grin and bear it. Now who's the king of these rude, ludicrous, lucrative lyrics? Who could inherit the title? Put the youth in hysterics, using his music to steer it, sharing his views and his merits. But there's a huge interference, they're saying you should inherit. Maybe it's hatred I spew, maybe it's food for the spirit. Maybe it's beautiful music I made for you to just cherish. But I'm debated, disputed, hated, and viewed in America as a motherfucking drug addict. Like you didn't experiment, nah, that's when you start to stare at who's in the mirror and see yourself as a kid again. And you get embarrassed and I got nothing to do but make you look stupid as parents. You fucking do good, it's too bad you couldn't do good at marriage. And do you have any clue what I had to do to get here? I don't think you do, so stay tuned and keep your ears glued to the stereo. Cause here we go, he's jiggy. Chicken, I'm the sinister. Mister, kiss my ass, is just a
renegade.
Never been afraid to say what's on my mind at any given time of day, cause I'm a
renegade.
Never been afraid to talk about
anything.
Renegade.
Never been afraid to say what's on my mind at any given time of day, cause I'm a
renegade.
Never been afraid to holler about anything.
Anything.
I had to hustle, my back to the wall, ashy knuckles, pockets filled with a lot of lint, not a cent, got a vent, lot of innocent lives lost on the project bench. What you hollering? Gotta pay rent, bring dollars in, buy the bodega, iron under my coat, feeling brave, a do-rag wrapping my waves, a pocket full of hope. Do not step in me, I'm awkward, I box lefty, an orphan, my pops left me an orphan, my mama wasn't home, could not stress to me, I wasn't grown, especially on nights I brought something home to quiet the stomach rumbling. My demeanor, 30 years my senior, my childhood didn't mean much, only raising green up, raising my fingers to critics, raising my head to the sky, big, I did it most time before I die, no lie, just know I chose my own fate, I drove by the fork in the road and went straight.
See, I'm a poet to some, a regular modern day Shakespeare, Jesus Christ, the king of these Latter-day Saints here, to shatter the picture in which of that is they paint me as a monger of hate, Satan, a scatterbrained atheist, but that ain't the case, see, it's a matter of taste. We as the people decide if Shane is as bad as they say he is, or is he the latter, a gateway to escape, media scapegoat, they can be mad at the day, see it's as easy as cake, simple as whistling Dixie, while I'm waving the pistol at 60 Christians against me, go to war with the Mormons, take a bath with the Catholics in holy water, no wonder they try to hold me under longer, I'm a motherfucking spiteful, delightful, eyeful, the new Ice Cube, motherfuckers hate to like you, what did I do? I'm just a kid from the gutter making his butter off these bloodsuckers, cause I'm a motherfucking
renegade.
Never been afraid to say what's on my mind at any given time of day, cause I'm a
renegade.
Never been afraid to talk about
anything.
Renegade.
Never been afraid to say what's on my mind at any given time of day, cause I'm a
renegade.
Never been afraid to holler about anything.